This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. The Hunter Biden plea deal has unraveled. A judge in Delaware raised serious doubts about it in court this morning. The agreement in the tax and gun case would have avoided a trial for the president's son. CBS's Catherine Herridge says the judge suggested, as she questioned prosecutors, that possible blanket immunity for Hunter Biden would not be acceptable.
As it stands right now, there is no plea agreement between the president's son and the U.S. government. The U.S. attorney, when asked specifically by the judge about the understanding between the parties, he said there was, quote, no deal. And Hunter Biden's attorney, Christopher Clark, said that as far as he was concerned, the plea agreement was null and void.
Now to London.
I'm enormously grateful to the jury.
Kevin Spacey says he's humbled by the decision in his criminal case today. CBS's Elaine Cobb.
The jury cleared the actor of all 9 charges of sexual assault. The offenses had allegedly taken place between 2004 and 2013 when Spacey was living mainly in Britain. In court, the prosecutor called him a sexual bully. Spacey's defense lawyers argued that 3 of the men were liars and a 4th incident was just a clumsy pass.
The Federal Reserve's expected to boost interest rates by a quarter point today in the battle against inflation. CBS's Carter Evans looks at the reality faced by consumers.
At Tom's Market outside Chicago, co-owner Nick Kostopoulos says years of pricing pressure are beginning to ease.
Dairy specifically, prices have come back down to earth a little bit.
Leo Feller is chief economist at consumer spending analysis firm Numerator.
So the perishable items, you have to sell them. So this is where you see a lot more discounting.
Feller says supermarkets have less control over pricing on packaged products that require more labor.
Cereal prices are up about 10% from this time last year.
Price trends at the grocery store are reflected across the economy. While commodities like gasoline are down, bigger ticket goods and services are still expensive.
In New York City this morning, a Manhattan construction crane caught fire. The arm of it collapsed, hitting a building.
Firefighters were in the surrounding buildings, evacuated the buildings, and also stretched hose lines to the top floors.
That fire official says 4 people, including 2 firefighters, were hurt. 7 major automakers say they're joining up to build a North American electric vehicle charging network that would rival Tesla's. It would nearly double the number of fast charging plugs. Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 45 points. The NASDAQ is down 45 points, and the S&P is down 5. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Travis King's father says his son probably made a mistake after a long night of drinking. King is the soldier from Racine who's been held by North Korea after crossing the demilitarized zone last week. Thomas King tells the Racine Journal-Times his son might have been celebrating his unit's return after a 2-year deployment in South Korea. Meanwhile, the State Department says there's still no word from North Korea about King's status. Spokesman Matthew Miller.
We have a number of channels through which we're able to send messages to them. We've delivered the messages to North Korea, but we have as yet not received a response.
King may have had other motivations to desert. He's facing discharge from the Army after getting into a fight with civilians and police in Seoul. Talks between North Korea and the United Nations are reportedly happening today. One of the U.S. Marines found dead in North Carolina Sunday was from Wisconsin. Lance Corporal Tanner Kaltenberg was from Madison and graduated from Verona High School. He was 19 years old. He and 2 other Marines found dead had been serving at Camp Lejeune. A local sheriff's department is investigating, but homicide has been ruled out. We may know why they died sometime today. It's been more than a year since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned federal abortion protections. The federal government is working to expand privacy protections for people in states like Wisconsin who have to go somewhere else to get reproductive care. Here's Mike Mohn.
Republican attorneys general from 19 states want the Health and Human Services Department to stop its pursuit of updating a HIPAA privacy rule. It would shield abortion care records of patients from states that now ban the procedure who traveled to states considered safe havens. The ACLU's Cody Shuler says these officials should not be pushing to maintain access to such information.
people have a right to access abortion, even if it's not legal in their state. And so we need clear legal protections to prevent hostile states from interfering with necessary health care nationwide.
The GOP office holders contend the proposed rule interferes with their ability to enforce their own laws. I'm Mike Moen.
America's opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court is low, but getting better. Pete Schwabe reports now on the latest Marquette University Law School poll.
55% tell the Marquette Law School poll they disapprove of the job the court is doing, while 45% approve. That's compared to a 59-41 split in May. 71% of Republicans approve of the court, compared to only 24% of Democrats. Half the respondents support the decision to eliminate race as a factor in college admissions. Only 37% favor striking down President Biden's student loan forgiveness program, and just 35% support allowing business owners to refuse service to gay people. Confidence in the court is low, but growing. 31% say they have confidence in the court. That's up from 25% in May. The Marquette survey polled more than 1,000 Americans from July 7th to the 12th. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Experts are pushing back against the popular notion that gun violence and mental illness are strongly connected. Jack Rosell of the University of Pittsburgh says people with mental health challenges are not more prone to violence.
The data is pretty clear that in the United States, about half of us live with a psychiatric illness, right? So it's actually quite common to live with a psychiatric illness. It's not those people, it's us together.
Rosell says the United States is the only country that averages one mass shooting every day. He says the problem in America is easy access to guns. Businesses in Wisconsin might get incentivized to install adult changing stations in their bathrooms. A Democratic bill in the state legislature would offer tax credits for businesses that upgrade their restrooms. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. The Eau Claire Area School District is being sued over its handling of an open records request. The district denied a parent in the district and a conservative law firm, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, transcripts from an in-class announcement about a teacher that would be undergoing a gender transition. The suit claims the parent was repeatedly rejecting and asking for the script that was read to students in the district's orchestra program this summer. The district said it's looking into the incident and that it would reconsider the request after their investigation. The filing is seeking the scripted statement shared with students, attorney's fees, and damages for the parent and law firm. The Eau Claire City Council approved a $24 wheel tax at last night's meeting. They approved the measure on a 7-2 vote. The new tax will affect over 52,000 vehicles in Eau Claire, which will bring in an estimated $1.29 million to the city for its road repair budget. That would be about a quarter of that specific budget. At Monday's hearing on the topic, public comment was overwhelmingly against the measure. Earlier this year, a proposed wheel tax of $30 failed to advance to the full council out of committee. The new Cobbin Bridge opened to traffic yesterday, allowing traffic to cross for the first time since 2017 on County Highway Y near Jim Falls and Cornell in Chippewa County. The new bridge replaces one built in 1908 that was closed to vehicle traffic 5 years ago. The old bridge's steel beams were recycled into fencing at nearby Lake Wissota State Park. Cobbin Bridge was finished 3 months ahead of schedule. And county roads in Dunn County are now open for ATV and UTV traffic. A county ordinance approved in May went into effect after signs were posted around the county. The ordinance applies to county roads, but ATV and UTV traffic is not allowed on state highways or on County Highway B between Highways 1229 and Highway 40. Some townships also do not allow ATV and UTV traffic. The ordinance will be reviewed in 3 years. And temperatures are expected to be hot for the next couple of days. Cooling shelters are open around the area. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
A warm front will slowly make its way across the state today, gradually lifting northward from southwest to northeast. That will spill warmer temperatures into the region. It'll help to improve the air quality, but unfortunately we'll still have some smoky conditions and hazy skies throughout the afternoon with filtered sunshine. The chance of showers and storms along the front is pretty minimal, and the best chance is in the northern half of the state in the late afternoon and evening hours. Another system will roll into the area tonight. The jet stream becomes active and it'll bring in a round of showers and thunderstorms, although they'll be kind of on the hit and miss side. And a storm or two could linger through midday tomorrow. Then we'll see the temperatures punch up rather quickly. We'll look for high temperatures in the 80s to near 90 today. Same territory tomorrow and well into the 90s across most of the state with some upper 80s in the north. That's your Civic Media forecast. I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
The Reds hold off the Brewers. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Reds had built a four-run lead heading into the bottom of the ninth inning last night at American Family Field. Then, with runners on first and third, Christian Yelich came to the plate. Jeff Levering on Valley Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball left field. Back Senzel. Gone! It's a one-run game.
My goodness. A three-run homer by Yelich, his 15th of the season. It traveled 378 feet over the left field fence, but Andrew Monasterio, batting cleanup, hit a pop fly, and that ended it. A 4-3 win for Cincinnati over the Crew. Yelich after the game.
Yeah, we left a lot out there. You know, we kind of had a chance to distance ourselves there with a lot of opportunities, but our pitchers did a great job of just throwing up zeros, giving us a chance to stay in it and keep the pressure on.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
Just didn't do enough offensively. You know, we put a kind of a runner on base. We had a lot of like longer at bats. Just didn't cash anything in.
What has to change to turn the offense around?
I mean, we got to get more hits. That's usually how it works.
Game three, the rubber match of the series at 1:10 this afternoon in Milwaukee. Ben Lively against the Brewers' Freddie Peralta. The Crew with a half-game lead over the Reds in the NL Central. The Chicago Cubs have won four in a row after beating the White Sox on the south side 7-3. The Cubs now six games off the lead. Hockey, the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, has died after a short illness. Rocky Wirtz revived the franchise, winning three Stanley Cups. He was 70. NBA, the Celtics agreeing to a five-year Supermax extension with guard Jaylen Brown worth $305 million, the richest deal in NBA history. LeBron James' 18-year-old son Bronny, now out of ICU after collapsing from cardiac arrest while practicing at USC. He's a freshman on the Trojans basketball team. College football, former Badgers defensive coordinator Jim Leonard has been hired by Brett Bielema as a defensive consultant at Illinois. Michigan's Jim Harbaugh facing a possible four-game suspension for NCAA recruitment violations. NFL, the Chargers signed quarterback Justin Herbert to a five-year extension worth over $260 million. The Packers begin training camp with two players on the PUP, defensive back Eric Stokes and linebacker Rashawn Gary, GM Brian Gutekunst.
He's such an important factor for our football team. So, you know, we're going to be very cautious in that as far as making sure that he's good to go. He's got a long career ahead of him, and we want to make sure that we do everything we can to get him to where he can go let it loose.
ESPN's list of NFL top running backs did not include Packers' Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon's reaction.
Him not being a top 10 is, first of all, ridiculous. Just the last couple of years he's had. It's just stuff for our bulletin board. We got a bulletin board. We got a checklist. We keep the receipts. I don't need to say too much. We'll let our game speak for itself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm. Otherwise, a high near 91 with a heat index of 95. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 69. Slight chance of a storm on your Thursday, otherwise sunny and hot with a heat index around 100. For Friday, partly sunny with a high of 87.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. We got the squad in-house again today. It's Luke and Aaron, gentlemen. How are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Having fun here on Wednesday. Things are buzzing around the Civic Media headquarters. We got a lot of folks here in the new State Street headquarters for Civic Media. It's a great Wednesday. Glad to be with you on the airwaves.
Yeah, some days I close the production booth door out of courtesy to the people out there, but today is one of the days where I close it because they're loud.
You've earned it at this point, Aaron. You've earned it.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Well, it means that you've been respectful of them for so long that now you've earned the right to force them to be respectful to you by keeping that door shut.
Gotcha. I see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a fabulous show lined up for you today. You know, we've been really hammering over the past week and the past couple days in particular about confidence in American institutions. So I ask you today, the people of Wisconsin, about another famous American institution. Do you approve or disapprove of the job the Supreme Court is doing? Reading over from a new Marquette Law School poll, the national survey found that 45% of adults approve of the job the U.S. Supreme Court is doing, while 55% disapprove. While approval remains below disapproval, this is a 4 percentage point increase in approval since May and the second highest rating since March of 2022, when approval stood at 54%. This trend in approval since 2020 is listed on the MU Law School poll website, and they note that for each of the five June 2023 decisions inquired about, a plurality of people with an opinion favored the court's ruling as discussed after the tables included on the site. This is very surprising to me, Luke, because the people that I have spoken with now, obviously this is simply anecdotal experience, but I hear otherwise. I tend to hear otherwise on the ground. I think 45% is significantly higher than I would have guessed. And that is changing rather quickly, as approval ratings have been as low as 41 and as high as 66 if you're going back the past year. What are your thoughts, Luke?
Yeah, I think this is some pretty interesting polling out of our friends over at the Marquette University Law School. It's I don't know what to take of it. There's a lot of stories coming out about the Supreme Court, so I think watching the changes that we see from poll after poll, the Marquette Law School poll and their pollster, Charles Franklin, doing these polls now every 2 months. So the last one was May. We got this one in July. We'll look forward for another one in September. But it is interesting to keep track of trends like this because of all of the different rulings. We want to hear your thoughts, though. 844-967-2789. You can join us here on Town Call. We're going to be joined as well by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Coming up at 12:30, going to be joining for some general recombobulation about things going on here in Wisconsin and in the Milwaukee area. But you can join us now, 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. Up first this Wednesday afternoon, we got Totter Billy calling in from the north side of Madison. What's on your mind today, Totter Billy?
Hey, relevant to your question, I just hate this question, not that it seems default, but my feelings about the Supreme Court aren't so much about the Supreme Court, because I have a very high opinion of certain members of the Supreme Court and a great deal of confidence in them. and other members I'm very skeptical of, disappointed of, and angry at. CLR completely out of touch. I'm very disappointed in the way that the Republican Party has manipulated the system to stack the court. I'm not disappointed in the system itself. I'm disappointed in the way Republicans have used it. So it's a tough question to answer, and it bothers me because I really, really think very highly of Ketanji Brown Jackson, the decisions that many of the decisions the court make turn my stomach.
That's a great point, Souter Billy. Yeah, I mean, the polling doesn't specifically ask whether your confidence is in the individuals within the court or the institution of the court itself.
Well, it does. Will. There is a breakdown from.
Does it?
So I'm reading from a piece over Bloomberg Law, talking about confidence in the court as an institution also rose in the July survey of 1,005 adults, with 31% of respondents saying they have a great deal or a lot of confidence in the court, which was also up from the May Marquette survey, which was then 25%. So it is an institution, even gets lower, though. So it, as Todd or Billy points out, there are some underlying factors that go into how respondents are answering this question, because you can have faith in the institution, you can have faith in some of the justices, but then still be upset with others. And so there is a breakdown there. At the time as well, reading from this piece over at Bloomberg Law, at the time, 26% of respondents said that the justices' honesty and ethical standards were high or very high. That increased to 32% in July. So that went up 6%, even though we're seeing these stories about questioning the ethics of some of the judges. So it is a baffling trend in some regards when news reports are coming out about what some of these justices are doing, but then respondents increasing by 6 percentage points over the past 2 months. But the public was divided. A third of respondents, 33%, rated the justice honesty and ethical standards as average, and another third, 35%, rated them low or very low. So it's pretty much a three-way split when it comes to the ethics questions as well. So the Marquette University Law School poll out today talking about confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court as an institution and your approval or disapproval, depending on the questions, Will, it does change for how respondents are answering that.
Great point, Luke. Yeah, that's fascinating. And that does go back to something we talked about yesterday with polling in particular, that you can write the question in a way to try to generate an answer you think is more favorable to whatever cause or narrative you are pushing. I'm not obviously saying that that's what's going on right now, but what I am saying is that, it can be hard to determine the results of polling. A lot of citizens can be fickle in their answers, their replies. That can be changing with however you decide to word the question. Another point that I thought was really interesting coming from the MU Law poll, Luke, was the approval versus disapproval rate by self-identified members of individual parties. So those who identify as Republicans in the July of 2023 poll approve of the Supreme Court at a 71% clip, with disapproval at 29%. Independents approve of the court at a 40% clip, with disapproval at 60%. And Democrats approve of the Supreme Court at 24%, with a disapproval rate of 76%. Of course, that averages out to the total approval disapproval rating of 45-55 that we mentioned. But pretty clear differences here amongst individuals based on your party preference as to whether you approve or disapprove of the recent decisions made by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's important to point out. I think it's also important to point out that it's not just party, though. Party ID is not the only leading aspect of this disapproval of the U.S. Supreme Court. It's important to show independence. That's a pretty wide gap, a 20-point gap between independents is fairly large when it comes to this, which I think leads to that 10-point gap overall, 55-45 disapproval of the U.S. Supreme Court. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. What are your thoughts on the Supreme Court? 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And Will, do you think there will be a further increase come 2 months from now, or do you think this is going to be something that, you know, kind of goes back and forth a little bit as it's something that the Marquette poll is going to be tracking here in 2023?
Well, obviously, the Supreme Court completed its docket a couple of weeks ago. I think that's really the driving force of a lot of these responses, is what decisions have been made recently. I hate to make this comparison, but you know how in professional sports, it's always talked about as a "what have you done for me lately" league. I think most industries, particularly industries that are very forward facing in terms of media attention, such something like the Supreme Court, Americans have a short attention span, and we tend to defer back to whatever most recent headline that we saw. In this case, it was the 2023 docket. Now the Supreme Court will not be making any judgments until they're back in session. So unless there is some kind of multiple potentially breaking media pieces relating to individuals on the court and their judgments, their decisions, the ethical dilemmas that they may be facing, I can't see confidence necessarily changing, but that is very possible. You look back at the past 6 months alone, how many pieces have been released showing a lot of the issues that the justices have been getting into in the past. And I wouldn't be surprised if more issues were to come to the limelight.
It will be interesting to see if no news is good news, or if no news surrounding the docket means only room for other news stories, as you pointed out. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation here on Town Call. Up next on this Wednesday afternoon, we got Ted in Eau Claire listening. Ted, what are your thoughts on the U.S. Supreme Court?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. First-time radio caller, just found the Civic Network. So glad to have a new point of view on the airwaves.
Yeah, thanks for calling in this afternoon.
Glad to have you here, Ted.
So with the approval ratings that you guys were just discussing, you know, political approval ratings for at least the past 20 years seem to always hover around that 45% to 50% mark. Do you feel if the court was leaning more liberal today instead of conservative, that approval ratings would be any different? And it's just kind of showing that there's kind of a line drawn down the middle of America right now.
That's a great question, Ted. Yeah, that's a great question. I'm inclined to think, and I think most people would agree, that it really comes down to what the quote unquote independent voters think in this situation, because as you noted, and as the polling numbers note, Republicans and Democrats are going to side ideologically with whatever they think best fits their party line. In this situation, independents approve of the court at a 40% clip, which, as Luke noted, really drives that 45% total. Would it be different if it was the reverse? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. And I'd love to hear more people's thoughts if they have an answer to that. But we're going to figure that out as we come back. We'll be right back.
We'll be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Looking forward to having Dan join us as well. Thank you, Ted, for your phone call. This is Town Call, 844-967-2789.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News special report. Hunter Biden's plea deal on tax charges is coming apart.
The U.S. attorney, when asked specifically by the judge about the understanding between the parties, he said there was, quote, no deal. And Hunter Biden's attorney, Christopher Clark, said that as far as he was concerned, the plea agreement was null and void.
CBS's Catherine Herridge says key issue for the Delaware judge was whether it gave President Biden's son blanket immunity going forward.
It's a lot of complex legal arguments, but it really comes down to a simple idea that there is an ongoing investigation by the U.S. attorney in Delaware And whether you put that to one side, Hunter Biden could face criminal prosecution in the future on other charges.
Former Justice Department official Tom Dupree.
If this plea agreement falls through, we're kind of back to square one and the prosecution will be on the calendar and we'll move ahead.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. The Eau Claire Area School District is being sued over its handling of open records. It denied a parent in the district and conservative law firm Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty transcripts from an in-class announcement about a teacher that would be undergoing a gender transition. The suit claims the parent was repeatedly rejected and asking for the script that was read to students in the district's orchestra program this summer. The district said it was looking into the incident and that it would reconsider the requests after their investigation. The filing is seeking the scripted statement shared with students, attorney's fees, and damages for the parent and law firm. The Eau Claire City Council approved a $24 wheel tax at last night's meeting, approving it 7-2. The new tax will affect over 52,000 vehicles in Eau Claire that will bring in an estimated $1.29 million to the city for its road repair budget. That's about a quarter of that budget. At Monday's hearing on the topic, public comment was overwhelmingly against the measure. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
Thank God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We are entering the recombobulation area on this Wednesday afternoon. If you would like to join us in the recombobulation area, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Dan Schaefer on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I love that intro. That's just incredible stuff.
It doesn't get old. It, every time I listen to it, I'm giddy. That's the best way to describe it. So,
what's that speech from? I obviously know that you put Bobby Portis quotes in there. What's the speech from the
the Twilight Zone.
Isn't that the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it's essentially the Twilight Zone turned into recombobulation area. So we tweaked it.
Okay, perfect.
There we go. And so Todd on the production team helped out with the voicer there and put it together. And Aaron was the one that provided Todd the clips. So we had a lot of fun. It was a team effort here at Civic Media. And we're thrilled to be joined by you, Dan Schaefer, of the recombobulation area here at 12:30 on Wednesdays on Town Call. And so we're finishing up a segment. What we were talking about is recent Marquette University Law School polling, Dan. And before the last break, a caller asked us if we believe that this would be, you know, flipped. If it was a liberal justice-controlled Supreme Court, if there was a majority of liberals on it instead of the current 6-3 conservative makeup, would the polling be inverse? And my, before we got to the break, I couldn't share my thoughts. But it was, it's hard to tell. You'll never really know because the way that the Supreme Court makeup now was forever altered in 2016 when Mitch McConnell refused to appoint Merrick Garland to the U.S. Supreme Court, Obama's third nominee, to the highest court, and the makeup is completely changed. So there's really no way to tell where the opinion would be now. We can only have excellent pollsters like Charles Franklin and the Marquette University Law School reach out to individuals across the country and gauge their thoughts on where we are now. But that was kind of our final takeaway there. We've got another aspect of polling, Dan, going on because there's a debate coming to town. Couple of weeks from today, I believe we're about a month out now from the first Republican-held debate in Milwaukee, going into your neck of the woods. Your thoughts on the RNC holding its first debates next month in Milwaukee?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be kind of the unofficial beginning of the 2024 campaign cycle, and obviously that for the Republican presidential primary. That's going to be a pretty big deal in the city of Milwaukee with the RNC coming to town and with the debate starting as well. So now I believe we're at 7 candidates who will make the debate stage, meet the qualifications. You know, it's been quite the week for the, I don't know, top challenger to Donald Trump, who would be the front runner, top challenger being Ron DeSantis, whose campaign seems to be just all over the place right now. And he has to be thinking he's got to make it to that debate stage to try to change things for the direction his campaign is going, because it does not look good for the governor from Florida right now.
And I can't lie, Dan, that that scares me when you say the unofficial start to the 2024 presidential campaign. I just finished our special election. I want a little bit of time to like catch my breath or something. I do not want to get back into this.
Well, we've got like, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we're getting back into it. I mean, as far as Wisconsin goes, that's about as long of a break between election cycles as we get. You know, I was thinking like after the spring election, Tammy Baldwin, it was like only a week before Tammy Baldwin announced that she would be running for re-election. So we didn't have time to take a break there. And we don't really have time to take a break now. And Wisconsin's political calendar is always busy. Next week, we'll have Janet Protasiewicz sworn in. A couple weeks later, we'll have the debate in Milwaukee. It's just never ending.
Democracy is a 24/7, 365 gig.
In this state, it sure is. Yeah, absolutely.
Feels more than 365, 24/7, though. I don't know how they fit more in, but
time is an illusion, Luke. It's a theme on this show.
It's just one of those vibes. It's got a vibe of having more. Well, as you pointed out, though, 7 candidates qualifying. There are some qualifiers that need to be met for candidates to be able to be on the debate stage in Milwaukee next month for the first debate held by the Republican National Committee. Candidates must tally at least 40,000 individual donors to qualify. They must also meet a polling threshold, receiving at least 1% of support in 3 national polls or 1% of support in 2 national polls and 2 early voting state polls. So those are the qualifiers for candidates. Do you think we're going to see the field grow over the next couple of weeks, or do you think this is going to be kind of a set number for now with the individuals that have already qualified?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think it's going to grow a ton. I do think Mike Pence probably will eventually make the cut. He currently has not. I think it's just because the
I think it's he needs donors.
Donors,
yeah.
I think it's the is the issue for Pence. Yeah.
At least according to Pence's team, he told CNN recently that the campaign would make the polling requirement, quote, very easily, but getting to the required 40,000 individual donors might be difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine he'll eventually get there. It'd be a little surprising if he didn't. But yeah, I don't know if it will grow past that. You know, I don't know if there will be any late arrivals to the, you know, just to the mix in general. You know, as far as candidates challenging Donald Trump, I mean, this seems like the opportunity to really do that. We don't know if Trump is going to be present at this debate. That will, of course, be a factor. And, you know, I think it's probably because he just wants to keep everybody guessing and keep everybody asking him that instead of the myriad of other questions that he probably would less like to answer from the Beltway media right now. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who makes the final cut for the debate stage in Milwaukee. But I think for a lot of these, you know, non-Trump challengers, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, it's going to be a real opportunity to make a difference in this campaign. Cause right now it just seems like Donald Trump is running away with things, which is interesting.
Yeah. This is far
Donald
out.
Trump
it is
noted that. There's a piece over at JS Online discussing which Republican presidential candidates have qualified. And the quote from Donald Trump is, when you have a big lead, you don't do it. You're leading people by 50 and 60 points. And you would say, why would you be doing a debate? It's actually not fair. Why would you let somebody that's at 0 or 1 or 2 or 3, you know, be popping you with questions? I think that's a very interesting quote coming from a man who was in this position himself in the 2016 primaries. Remember that he came out of relative obscurity before catapulting to the top of the polls. It's interesting that he would be taking that approach now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's, again, like you mentioned, what have you done for me lately? He doesn't necessarily, you know, need to take the position of somebody that's 1-3% in the polls because he's leading the field currently as the Republican front runner for 2024. It is interesting to note, to keep an eye on whether or not he is going to attend that debate. Some of the other individuals you mentioned, Nikki Haley and Tim Scott, both from South Carolina, one former governor, one a current U.S. senator. Some of the other interesting names that qualified, Doug Burgum, the North Dakota governor, qualified, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, and Vivek Ramaswamy, an interesting character that I didn't know a whole lot about until recent weeks. Dan, are you surprised by any of those three names also qualifying for the first RNC debate next month?
Yeah, I suppose to a certain extent, it's a little surprising. It seems like Ramaswamy has been advertising and getting his name out there pretty aggressively. You know, it seems like maybe, you know, just getting his name out there for these types of primary conversations and things like that. He's got some pretty bizarre views on raising the voting age, which is a bit strange. I guess Republicans need to find a way to win over young voters one way or another, and or I guess not lose significantly.
I was just saying that's an interesting way to put that.
Yeah, that's not probably not the best.
Aging them out of the electorate isn't winning them over.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not the best way to put it. But that's he's certainly a strange one. And I think, you know, Chris Christie seems to be as much in this mix based on just wanting to be on cable TV for the rest of the foreseeable future. It seems like he has his audience, his constituency is just like people who are across the table from him on cable news shows. So I don't know if he actually has
Somehow beyond that. Somehow he found 40,000 donors though, so there was at least that threshold that was met by the Christie campaign, and I that one did catch my eye as the amount, I believe the only, he is the most unpopular, like he has the highest disapproval rating among all Republican voters for this Republican field. So it'll be interesting to see when campaign finance stuff comes out, if we do, because I know there's all these dark money loopholes now, and so it's hard to see who's making those 40,000 donations. But I'd be interesting to know if those are truly Republican voters, or if it's just anybody that wants to see Chris Christie get on the debate stage.
Yeah, maybe just producers at like Fox News and CNBC and CNN and stuff like that who are wanting to keep him as a potential guest on cable news going forward. I don't know.
I don't know if there's that many producers out there, Dan, but that could be one theory.
I'm interested to see to what extent these candidates will actually start going after Trump in these, because he has such a lead. You know, I think, you know, you think of the possibility of many of these candidates maybe angling for a VP selection of, you know, another place within the campaign. You know, are they going to actually start going after Trump? Because it seems like whenever there's bad news about Trump, the Republicans kind of circle the wagons and say, hey, this is a witch hunt. This is fake news. This is whatever. Are they actually going to start attacking him on this debate stage? Is that what this is building towards? That's what I'm going to be interested to see.
DeSantis' campaign has tried. It hasn't gone so well, but they've made some efforts to go after the kingpin.
And they've done so by trying to go to the right of Trump, which seems like a very strange and terrible strategy.
Well, maybe not a bad strategy for the primary, but it's a tougher strategy when you take into the general election math into it, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see. I think the attacks that DeSantis's campaign has made against his Republican competitors have been pretty subtle, though. And I think you're right, Dan. It's going to be something to watch when it comes to the debate in Milwaukee next month, of how pointed some of the attacks between these candidates will get between now and the debate, or on the debate stage. It'll be very interesting. We got a number of things going on in Milwaukee. We've got the county sales tax and community in the Milwaukee area having some shifting demographics. We're going to continue the conversation with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area. If you want to join us, share your thoughts, call or text 844-967-2789. And we'll try to find a way to work in some of the Milwaukee Bucks news as well, right? There was always at least a couple Milwaukee Bucks stories. Dan, this one I can share with you. Working to add the Milwaukee Bucks to a number of Civic Media radio stations. So we're looking forward to growing the network, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be not only just the Brewers, the Badgers, the Packers that you can listen to across the Civic Media network, working to be able to be a broadcast home in several different markets around Wisconsin for the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's definitely a fun time right now, and we're going to continue the conversation here in the Recombobulation area, talking about all of the candidates qualifying for the RNC debate in Milwaukee next month, as well as all of the Milwaukee headlines. If you've got a thought that you would like to share, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to be right back.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5, The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm. Otherwise, a high near 91 with a heat index of 95. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 69. Slight chance of a storm on your Thursday, otherwise sunny and hot with a heat index around 100. For Friday, partly sunny with a high of 87. Currently, 78 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We have entered the recombobulation area with Mr. Dan Schaefer, and we are talking the upcoming presidential debate scheduled for August 23rd in Milwaukee. We're going to go to the phone lines for a second. Joanne from Madison's calling in. Joanne, what are your thoughts on the upcoming debate?
Well, I'm a little worried because we don't have comedy, late night comedy like Kimmel and Colbert and all that to help us digest these debates now and all the other news that's coming down. I mean, I was hooked on those shows just for a good laugh, and now I'm hooked on your show because of the great humor. And look at Gutfield. Gutfield on Fox is getting incredible ratings because it's just that little bit of comedy that helps us make the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. So what are you folks thinking about the world to come without comedy because of the writer's strike, of course?
Yeah, it's an excellent point, Joanne. I'm not a standard watcher without the strike of the late night while it's on. I don't stay up that late. I'm an early morning person now, so I only get to watch some of the clips here and there. But it is absolutely something that we're missing right now as part of the political and social commentary of satire and humor digesting some of what's going on in these current events.
Oh, yeah, I guess we'll just have to turn to other outlets like X to find.
Oh no, Dan got to mention it first. I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but we ran out of time.
I think that's an addict thing, though. It's like whoever brings it up first is the worst. So I think you may be the worst Twitter/X addict out there, Dan. It may be you then. But you've got excellent outlets here across Civic Media. You got As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bryan, Jane Matinair. You got the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. They're Town Call. We're here right now with Luke and Will and Dan Schaefer on Wednesdays.
We try to be funny sometimes.
We try to do our best,
but we try.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing my best out here. That's all I can say. That's all I can do each day.
I try to sneak a joke or two into my columns at the recombobulation area as well. So you know, there's going to be options.
Yeah.
It might be a little different than it was before. I did. That is a really interesting point, though, that the caller made about, you know, not having the typical political satire machine to go, you know, run alongside the debate in the 2024 campaign.
Yeah.
It's fun to have someone to note the absurdity of what's being said and done. It's a lot easier to be able to recognize just how ridiculous a lot of the modern world is when you're able to take a couple steps back and laugh at it. And, you know, I don't claim to be particularly funny. I'm a little funny looking. So, you know, if you're tuning in via Facebook, you might be able to get a glimpse into that, but there are other outlets, as you mentioned. There are other ways to get your humor, to get this kind of digestible, enjoyable content.
I don't know if Gutfield, though, is necessarily just having the ratings because of the humor. It may just be because there's nothing else live at that time now, because I believe Gutfield was like fourth in the ratings before the writer's strike. So yes, something's better than nothing, but I can't, I'm not going to go out and say that it's, he's pulling in those ratings because of how good the humor for that show truly is. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app, take us with you wherever you go, and you can call and text right from the app. We're joined here on Town Call by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. You can see all of Dan's excellent reporting on Substack at the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, one of the things you've been keeping an eye on, the historic change to shared revenue here in Wisconsin. Local community is going to be getting a bigger piece of the pie from the state government. One of the aspects of that, the county now going to be looking to vote on whether or not to accept the increase to sales tax across Milwaukee County. What can you tell us about what's going on with that provision?
Yeah, so the city had its vote a couple weeks ago now and passed the sales tax increase by a 12-3 vote at the Milwaukee Common Council. And part of the requirement to pass this both at the city level and at the county level is meeting a two-thirds threshold. So it's not just a simple majority vote that will raise the sales tax. They have to have two-thirds of the Board of Supervisors voting in favor of raising the sales tax. I think it's really, really important that the county supervisors vote in favor of raising the sales tax, because there is a looming fiscal cliff for Milwaukee County when it comes to non-mandated services. You know, this is something the county executive David Crowley has said over and over and over again. By 2027, the county is out of money to pay for non-mandated services. That means stuff that is not state law that the county would carry out. Among those are things like the Milwaukee County Transit System and the Milwaukee County Parks. So if the supervisors vote no on raising the sales tax, they are effectively voting to gut funding for transit and parks in Milwaukee County. Transit, it has a very fast approaching fiscal cliff. They have a Save the Bus campaign going on right now. If the supervisors vote no on this, then that is going to be a huge, huge problem for Milwaukee County Transit. And that's right at a moment where it could be a turning point for transit as well, with the new BRT that's getting a ton of ridership, and plans for additional, you know, BRT offerings or expanded bus lines in the county as well. So a vote against this raising the sales tax would be effectively a vote to gut parks and transit in Milwaukee County.
And if listeners want to see a breakdown, an excellent reporting about things going on in Milwaukee, how can they support the work that you do, Dan, and learn more about the excellent reporting coming out of the Recombobulation Area?
Yeah, you can, of course, find me at therecombobulationarea.substack.com. You can become a free subscriber, just get everything in your inbox, or you could become a paid subscriber to help support local independent media covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're a big fan
of
local.
We could follow
local...
you on Twitter, X, at...
You can follow me on X at Dan R. Schaefer. I'm not really as active on Threads or Blue Sky or Mastodon, but I grabbed up the username so that nobody would impersonate me at least. So
there you go. I think, yeah. I've set up socials on one of those and then just never did it again. So I'm playing the violin on the deck of the Titanic. I'm just going down with the ship. When it ends and somebody pulls the plug on X or Twitter or whatever we're going to call it, that's when I'll be off. But until then,
well,
the addiction will continue.
The next thing you know, you might have, you know, bought a website domain 10 years ago, spent multiple millions of dollars on it, and then got so obsessed with the fact that you wasted money on it that you turned your $44 billion investment into that, selling away all of the brand recognition that's been built up over the last 15 years.
Without checking if your main rival,
10 years ago.
And without checking if your main rival technically already has the copyright for that name.
Right.
All right, I'm going to go X a little bit. I'll thank you guys. Dan Schaefer, really appreciate you joining us on a Wednesday afternoon. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can find us on Civic Media's website. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the show on Facebook and X, previously known as Twitter. We'll be joined again next Wednesday by Dan Schaefer. Until then, we really appreciate it, Dan. Town Call will be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
And
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Boss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
Instead of 844-96-PARTY, what is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.